Hello and welcome to the Courage Falls podcast. Listen and be blessed.
Hello guys, welcome to this episode of the Courage Falls podcast. I'm here, my name is Victor Ojo, your host. And with me here is Brett Kelsenberg, my friend from Kaiapa. Hey Brett, it's good to have you here.
Yeah, good to be on the show. Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thank you for honoring my invite to this podcast. Brett is my friend. We met about a year ago, and officially Brett goes to Kaiapa. Kaiapa is a campus ministry, and you know, just a community of great people that love Jesus and worship Him and just get together. And I think the first time I literally officially met Brett and that we spoke was at a brunch we had after church one Sunday, and Brett was just so free and talking to me about, we talked about quite a number of things, and he had this product that he was trying to sell to me, and also he introduced me to Robinhood.
Oh, there you go.
Investment platform, and that was good, you know. And I kind of feel like when we talk about what we're going to be talking about today, which is sharing Jesus with strangers, I feel that the Lord has put some wisdom in Brett's mouth to share with us, because Brett is just someone who loves the Lord and loves to talk about the Lord with people almost anywhere it finds people. And he has just that ability to start a conversation with just about anybody. And that's something that I commend about him, because the first time we met and we were talking, even though we weren't like directly talking about Jesus, I could literally sense that love and intentionality in his tone, in his voice, and how he carefully listened to what I had to say that very day. And I must say that this is something that I don't think people just do naturally. I believe that the Holy Spirit is working through Brett in this direction. Brett, do you have, why not just, you know, say one or two things about yourself? But before we do that, let us pray. Please pray for us.
Let's do that. Yeah, Lord. Lord, I just thank you for this night. Thank you for time with Victor. And just thank you for the man he is, Lord, the wisdom he brings to just any occasion, God. You've blessed him with just a wise mind, God, and a mind, Lord, that is just chasing after you, Lord. So we thank you for that. We pray, Lord, Holy Spirit, that you're in this place and that you're in this conversation, God. And I pray, Lord, that we just abide with you by talking about you, by looking at your word, and spending more time with you, Jesus. Thank you for just this weekend. Thank you for America. Thank you for this place, God, that we get to just have time to talk about your word, time to talk about you, Lord. And may this conversation, Lord, bless others, and may it just be fruitful. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. All right. Brett, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure. Yeah. So I'm originally from Minnesota area. Mm-hmm. So Plymouth, Minnesota. I grew up playing a lot of sports. So I played three sports, played hockey, football, American football. Mm-hmm. And then I also played like discus and shot put, like track and field events.
Wow.
And so I was really athletic, came from a really athletic family. Mm-hmm. You want me to talk about my testimony too a little bit? Or just kind of give the rundown?
Yeah, just go for it.
Okay, yeah, sure. So like that was, so I came from this athletic family, and athletics was a huge part of my life. Mm-hmm. I loved the team aspect of athletics. I loved working out. I loved preparing for something and like training for something.
Wow.
So it was always like a big part of my life, mm-hmm. is doing that. And so as I went into college, I had a goal to go professional and play professional sports. Mm. And at that time, I was kind of in an interesting spot with God. Mm. I didn't I feel like I was the type of person, my family, you know, we went to church all the time growing up.
Yeah.
We'd do stuff growing up as you know, as a kid, but I was, my actions, my fruit mm-hmm. of my faith weren't really there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I kind of forced myself to go because I knew, like, I knew church was good for me, but I didn't have that relationship where I was like, just really felt God's love and just a desire to chase after him. I more felt like it's something I should do as a religious obligation.
Mm-hmm.
And so as I went to college, that was a huge thing for me is, I went through football at UND. So I played Division I football and my first like 2 months of playing is when I messed up my body.
Wow.
So I tore my meniscus and then I had surgery and then the surgery went bad. So I had to get another surgery. So it was this whole deal. And that was that moment of basically rock bottom is when I kind of really stopped viewing God as a religion and started to see him as a relationship. And so that was kind of my testimony. And now, you know, I'm just really trying to follow him. And,
Wow.
I don't know. Me and you, we went on that same missions trip.
Yes.
And you know, the biggest thing I got out of that is like not putting God in a box.
Yes.
And just like and living your life like kind of like my testimony, like living your life in a way where you're not living religiously, but you're living like a relationship with him and putting him above all else. So that's, you know, that's still what I'm trying to work on. I'm still, you know, still battling with everything, but believing that God, you know, he's completing the work in me and he's doing amazing things, you know. You just got to trust in him and his timing. So that's a little bit about me. I do go to school for nutrition and dietetics. And I'm going into my senior year.
Wow.
So I'm almost done. Considering also transferring, maybe not. So keeping that on the thought, got to pray about that.
Wow.
But other than that, I like to fish. I like to hang out with friends and stuff.
Yeah, that's great, man.
Exercise, everything like that. So
great guy, Brad. Thanks for sharing that about yourself and kind of transitioning more into what we have before us today about sharing Jesus with strangers. We are talking about this with our focus being from John chapter 4. And the story is about Jesus and the woman by the well, who was a Samaritan woman who came, was a woman from Samaria rather, and who came to fetch water and to just fetch water from the well. And Jesus was by the well, and we see how they started a conversation. Jesus started a conversation from just asking her to give her water. And of course, background story, we know that the Jews and the people from Samaria were in good terms, weren't people that we should be seeing together talking, especially now a man talking to a woman, you know. And so like culturally and even like emotionally, Jesus was tired. He says in verse 6 that Jesus was tired, basically. And so we see a lot of things surrounding this conversation, and we'll be looking more into that subsequently. But first, I'd like us to look at this story from the perspective of the woman, because the woman first encountered Jesus and then went out there and started sharing Jesus and announcing Jesus to people. And that brings us to, before we even go into talking about sharing Jesus with strangers, like, we have to first address the place of, do you even know Jesus yourself? Do you have a relationship with Jesus yourself? And kind of starting off from what you were sharing about transitioning from just mere religion into having a relationship with Jesus, what does, you know, what was that turning point for you where you like knew that you had received Jesus? And how has that shaped your relationship with Jesus so far? And what does like spending time with Jesus look like after you met Jesus?
Yeah, I mean, to answer your first part of your question, that shift, I think for me was, I think like a lot of the Bible really points back to love. And I think I felt that love that I had never felt before. And, you know, there'd be times growing up as a kid where I'd have a spiritual moment maybe, or I'd have something that was here and there, but I don't think I pursued it. And I think after that moment, I saw the goodness of God. I told myself, I'm like, there's nothing else that's better than this. There's nothing else that's better than, you know, than this. So I have to chase after this. I have to know you. I have to continue to get into your word, to get into prayer, to spend more time with you. Yeah. And, you know, I'm by no means perfect at it, but I'm, you know, every day I'm trying to walk with him and trying to believe that for my life. And, you know, your other question was about how I spend time and stuff.
Yeah.
I'd say I really enjoy going on walks and just talking with God. Mm-hmm. And I think like I'm kind of more of a personality where I kind of just like to just kind of spitball things and kind of just talking. I'm just thinking about things.
Yeah.
And I think that that's a way that I'm able to talk with God and like able to communicate with him. Mm-hmm. And I think it's also important though to listen to him. So I think like, and I've been working on this cause I like to talk a lot, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? But I think it's important to also listen and spend time where you're not even saying anything. And so there's been a couple of times this summer that have actually been really amazing where I just like I've laid on my ground and I just sit and I don't say anything. Maybe I'll have some worship music on, or maybe I won't even have anything on. Maybe I'll just have the fan on and I'll just sit there and I'll just be with God. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, Bible time and devotion. And so that's kind of how I do it, I guess.
Wow. Oh, that's awesome. I really can speak from what you said, you know, something very profound about when we spend time with Jesus, or like what really brought that change in your life was you felt loved mm-hmm. by Jesus. And it's really interesting because from your testimony, there's definitely people who had that kind of situation that you had where they seemingly weren't able to pursue their dreams of becoming athletes because of an injury. And rather than blaming it on God, you were able to see his love in that. That is something very profound. And I believe that couldn't have been possible without just the Holy Spirit working in your heart and those things. And then you also talked about listening when you spend time with the Lord. And this is really profound stuff, because when we're talking about, you know, sharing Jesus with strangers, we're talking about loving strangers, not just talking to them. We're talking about loving on them first.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't give what you don't have, mm-hmm. basically. And, you know, from what you said, when we spend time with Jesus, then we receive his love. And then when we receive his love, then we're able to give out of the abundance that we have received from him, you know. And so when we look at Jesus here, basically, we see that he was able to go out of his way to stay with and spend time with this woman and really connect with this woman, you know. And basically what we're going to be talking about today, I'm just trying to lean on the Holy Spirit to help us understand his heart and what he really wants to do through us, rather than just learning principles and formulas to use or like go-to questions to have in your pockets to ask strangers and kind of to start our conversation with strangers, basically. But, you know, I'm really hoping that we would come to a point where we really are able to lean on the Holy Spirit in this time. And so transitioning, you know, away from seeing things from that woman's perspective to seeing things from Jesus's perspective, you know, can you tell me, like, one time, has there been times in your life when you were not able to share the gospel or to share Jesus with a stranger? Or maybe reasons are like being tired or just being distracted or being busy, or have you had such situations before?
Oh yeah, 100%, man.
Wow. Yeah. So like, and then when I look at your life, you know, I'm glad you mentioned that, like you said, yes, because I know a lot of Christians struggle with this. But when I look at your life and I see how you've grown in that area of being able to share with people, like, what changed? How were you always like this? Were you always someone who loved to talk to strangers about Jesus? And if no, like, how did you come to this point? What really changed?
Mm. Yeah, so the first part of it, there's definitely, you know, been times through, I'd say, like, you know, before Christ days, mm-hmm. to coming into, like, you know, really trying to live for God days.
Yeah.
And living in, you know, with Jesus now. And there's been times, yeah, I mean, it's like, we're humans, right? We, mm-hmm. we're tired. We, yeah. We do, you know, we get tired. And I actually, today I was actually reading, this verse, Isaiah 40.
Wow.
It's this book, it's called The Weight. Mm. It was talking about, where is it? Isaiah 40. I think it's like 38 through 39.
Mm-hmm.
Let me pull it up here because I have it right here. And it talks about, like, the Lord renewing our strength.
Yeah.
And so it says, though youths grow weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly, mm. yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary.
Mm.
And so, really, there's been times where I have been tired, and my friend Joe Scott. He's been an encouragement to me to kind of go out and do that, mm. and go and share downtown. Like, last year, I'd never done that, but I started going with him here and there,
mm.
and it's just so amazing what happens down there,
mm.
because you kind of just let God do His thing, and yeah. and sometimes you just some crazy stuff happens sometimes.
Mm.
And so to answer that first question, it's like, I think like waiting on the Lord, allowing Him to renew you, allowing Him to, like, fill you up. Like, mm. I think of it kind of like a gas station.
Yeah.
You go to God, and your tank is empty, mm. and He's the gas station. He comes in and He fills your tank, and mm. and then you're able to drive places. Then you're able to do things.
Mm.
And so that's kind of how I think of it. And it's just so important, like, to get, you know, to abide, to mm. make sure that you're spending time with Jesus, not just in a way where you're spending time with Him in a religious way. Oh, mm-hmm. maybe, you know, oh, I have to go to church on Sunday because that's yeah. a requirement or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Church is great, and church is a place, you know, you can connect with the community. But, like, if you're not abiding with Him, if you're not spending time with Him,
yeah.
then you're not getting filled up. Then you can't go drive places.
Yeah.
And, you know, the way that I, the second question was asking about, like, how is it advice I would give to people who,
yeah.
like, maybe feel like tired or something, or maybe yeah. feel like that it's, like, hard for them to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I would say the biggest thing that I have kind of noticed is kind of a what if mindset. Like,
mm.
what if this happens? Like, what if this happens, or what if this happens? Well, mm. who cares? Like, let's just do it, right?
Yeah.
Let's just try it.
Mm.
You know, what's the worst thing that can happen? I mean, maybe you die.
Yeah.
Like, that's, I mean, then you go to heaven,
yeah.
right? To live is Christ, to die is gain.
Mm.
And, like, and so, you mm. know, as Christians, we're called to do this, and it is hard. It is difficult. And, you know, I really appreciate those words, but, like, even me, Victor, like, I struggle sometimes to do that. Mm-hmm. I struggle sometimes to be like, to go out, you know, even today, like, I'm even, like, I don't even know if I'm saying the right thing. Sometimes I even have a little bit of nerves. I feel like everybody has a little bit of something in them where they get fearful, or they get
yeah.
stressed. And that's normal. That's, like, that's part of it. And that's the enemy too. That's the enemy trying to attack us. And that's mm-hmm. the enemy trying to stop us from doing the will of God, because mm-hmm. that's what we should be doing, you know?
Yeah.
And I think so many people, they get afraid of this, and they just step back, and they're like, I don't really want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that, you know, it's saying like, what if, saying like, you know, what if this happens, you know?
Yeah.
If this does happen, that's great. You know, I can go share some, like, what if one person comes to know God? What if one person comes to be, I mean, a pastor of a massive church or something, or something, mm-hmm. just because of my obedience to share the gospel. I think Billy Graham didn't.
Mm, yeah.
When he came to the Lord, I think somebody shared the gospel with him.
Yes. And he became
right.
like a global evangelist afterwards.
Right. And I mean, he was one of the most like successful evangelists yes. in probably our time. Mm-hmm. Right. And so it's just like just taking that obedient step mm. to do that and just being like, hey, who cares? I'm only on this life, like this earth for so long,
yeah.
you know, and just saying, why not? Right.
So. Mm. Yeah. As you were saying that, I kind of, you know, I'm beginning to think about Paul mm-hmm. to begin with. And when Paul was saying in Romans 1 verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. And what the kind of mindsets that will find someone like Paul have when you read from his letters, you read like Galatians chapter 2 verse 20, and you find him saying, it's no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in
yeah.
For I live yet not I, but I live by the faith of Christ, who loved me and died for me. And, you know, you find him saying words like, for I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives through me. You know, and then you find him saying stuff like, all things that I have, I cast as waste for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. And this is one thing that I pursue, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable to his death. And when you begin to look at the kind of mindset that the apostles had, it really makes sense what you said about asking ourselves, what's the worst that can happen? The worst that can happen is you lose your life. And when you lose your life, you're going to heaven. That was really profound. And as simple as that statement sounds, it is very hard for many people to practice today, because we're so attached to our family. We're so attached to our loved ones. We're so attached to our reputation. We're so attached to what we have, who we are. And indeed, the life of someone who would be sharing Jesus with people is the life of someone who, first of all, you know, has learned to take up his cross daily and follow Jesus, has learned to die daily and follow Jesus, die to his own self, his own selfish ambitions, his own reputations, basically. And I really think that's where it starts from. When we come to a point where we encounter Jesus enough to a point where we can say, like Paul, it's no longer I who lives, mm-hmm. but Christ who lives in me, then we begin to see that I'm just the body. I'm just the instrument. My lips are just the instrument. He's going to fill my mouth up with the words. And that's also profound, what you said about just letting God do his thing. You know, when we come to a point where I know that it's no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me, and I'm like dead to my own reputation, dead to my own stuff that I love, and to my own, yeah, like you said, who cares? Like, if it's about Christ and about him working through you, even though you weren't like having a super spiritual day, he can still work through you mm-hmm. and have meaningful conversations with people that will lead people to Jesus.
Yeah.
Basically. And so I'm just going to be transitioning into a point where, you know, when you look at this, you see that Jesus started out with water. And then from there, he started talking about the water of life. And then from there, we see that he started like, we begin to see the gift of the Holy Spirit in word of knowledge, work and dream. But what are some tips that you would recommend for starting a conversation with people, like with strangers? Because for instance, Jesus started this conversation with this woman
mm-hmm.
through like something, which is water, something that she was like actively involved in, which is water, basically. Because for me, sometimes when I like meet with people, maybe on campus, they're probably having lunch at the union, or they're probably like doing their homework. And then we kind of go off from there, like, hey, what are you studying? Hey, I'm an engineering student. And, you know, and then we kind of like go from there. But what are some tips that you would recommend, you know, for us to start conversations with people?
Yeah, I mean, the first thing that I kind of thought is I just wanted to kind of see what Jesus was like. And so I kind of, you know, he basically sees this woman at the well.
Yeah.
And he just straight up asks her, like, he just interacting with her is what I wrote down. Like, I think the best tip that I can give, because I think everybody has their own personalities that can be, you know, like, I believe God gives us all these different personalities that we can, you know, talk with people and interact with people with. But I think it's that first step. Like, that's really the most important thing. It kind of goes back to what I was saying earlier, but like, really just taking that first step. Like, Jesus could have been by the well. He could have probably sat there for a little bit, and maybe he could have, I don't know, maybe he could have grabbed his own scooper or something to get some water out of the well.
Yeah.
But he chose to interact with the woman, and it was actually, you know, and he knew that it wasn't a normal thing to do, right? Because this woman was a Samaritan. He was a Jew, right? Mm-hmm. And still, he did that, right? And so I'm pretty extroverted. I like to just go up and talk to people. But I think that, like, some people, they may feel a little bit anxiety about that. They may feel like, oh, like, what are these people going to think of me? And I think, especially today in our culture, you know, we're just so, like, we're tied into what are we doing on our laptops? What are we doing on our phones? Like, people, they're waiting in line for Chick-fil-A or something. They're waiting in line for their food, and they're just on their phones. They're just looking. They got their AirPods in. They got their headphones. And it's just, I mean, how's the weather? I just got to be, like, just natural with it. And I think you can, you know, I believe, like you were saying about the Holy Spirit, like, you know, it's, he can give us the words to say. He can give us the things to put in our head. I just think of our missions trip when, you know, you guys were talking with that one lady.
Yeah.
And to give context, there was this person, this random person that Victor and a couple of Victor's friends came across on this trip. Yeah. And they were talking to this lady, and this lady, in that situation, you guys were the perfect people to talk to that person at the exact same time, right? And and you guys gave the words that you guys needed to say, and then spoke to her heart. And I had a very similar instance happen a couple of days ago. I was literally just going to go to a friend's house at like 6:30 in the morning. Nobody is out at 6:30 in the morning. And I see this guy walking down the alleyway, and he's like, dude, like, my bike, like, I lost my bike, blah, 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 blah. And I just felt called to pray for him. And so I prayed for him, and as I was praying for him, I was talking about the verse where it's like, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another.
Yeah, countenance of his friends. Yeah.
Yep. And so I'm just like, I was like, God, like, is this something I should say right now? Like, I was just praying, and I'm like, this is kind of a weird, like, I just randomly met this guy, and I'm just sharing this random thing with him. But then we got done praying. He's like, dude, that's crazy. Like, I heard that like a week ago from somebody else, like some person was saying the exact same thing to me, and like, God's speaking to me right now. Like, you don't even know, man. And so, like, that goes back to the thing. It's like, the Holy Spirit's going to give you those words to say. The Holy Spirit's going to give you those things to say. And it's just about opening up to people and really just trying to just start a conversation, especially in a culture where we're so opposed to doing that.
Yeah,
but somebody's got to do it, right? Somebody's got to start that. So that's what I would give advice to. And, like, I mean, everybody has different abilities and talents, you know, and everybody can, like, I don't know very much about engineering. So I wouldn't be probably the best place to go to the school of mines because I wouldn't know what I'm talking about. You know, I can't even build a 2x2 house. You know, I don't know how to do it. You know what I mean? Or do a simple math problem. So that's everybody has their own abilities, you know what I mean? And it's how we're able to leverage them through using the Holy Spirit and using God to change us. So
that's really profound. I really like resonated with what you said about interaction, and I think it all boils down to connecting with people, like wanting to connect with people, wanting to see see things from their perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of that involves sometimes just finding out what interests them.
Yeah.
And kind of that middle ground of what also interests you, and trying to just figure out what's going on in their lives. And for me personally, I think one thing that I've done recently that I think has really like been helpful, which I'm sure you're gonna agree with as touching interaction, is when I go to people and I first start talking about what the Lord is doing in my life, or I talk a little bit about myself and what is going on in my life. Because first of all, we have to break that barrier of being a stranger. So you have to first of all like let them know, hey, this is who I am and this is what I'm up to. You know, and then you like try to figure out what they're up to. How's their day going? Like a simple question, like how's your day going? You know, and just again, what you said about it's not about us, it's about Jesus. And it's about us just obeying and just going and just taking that step. And whatever question first pops up in that conversation, the Lord is going to use it,
mm-hmm.
basically. And I want to, you know, transition into talking about the place of patience as well. Because, you know, when you look at the life of, this was kind of instantaneous, but not so instantaneous, but because the woman was, first of all, a little bit resistant to Jesus, but like Jesus was able to break through in that conversation, especially when the Holy Spirit gave him a word of knowledge for her. And which, of course, is one way that the Lord works through us, basically. But when you look at the apostles, like Paul in the book of Acts, you find that there were instances where he had to keep going back to the synagogue,
mm-hmm.
to keep talking about the gospel to those people. And, you know, a typical example is from Acts 17, from verse 10, where he was ministering to the people of Berea. And he would always go back and talk to them. And so what's the place of patience in sharing the gospel with strangers? Because what is that like fine line between, hey, I'm meeting this person today, I want to talk to them about Jesus. Like, are they really ready to hear about Jesus that time? You know, how do you like discern patience? You know, even when you meet people, like how do you design patience of it's okay to just have a normal conversation and interact with you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's for some people, it's actually urgent. Some people, the Lord was actually preparing their hearts for you to just come and like, you know, just like what you were saying earlier about that guy that you shared that scripture with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so like, what is the place of patience? Has there been times when you met resistance? When you were talking to people and they were not just like receptive, and has there been times when you talk to people and they were very receptive? So how did you handle rejection, basically?
It actually really reminds me of what we were talking about on our missions trip, and mm-hmm. talking about like discipleship versus just like conversion to people.
Yeah.
And I think it's super, super important to, I think it's about reading the room, really. And like the Holy Spirit allows you to do that. And yes. I think like there's been times where I've evangelized to people and oops, I don't want to hit my mic here. I've evangelized to people and I really felt like I just needed to really share something with them.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also like, there's also a relationship that I have with another friend right now where I'm kind of just trying to hang out with him and do stuff with him and do life together. And I think that that's like there was one time where I was like trying to share a little bit about my faith, and he was trying to share a little bit about his faith, and like, cause he believes in a different religion. Okay. And so he doesn't really believe in Christianity, but I see it as a way to like grow on, like just grow with him as a brother. I can just care about him and love on him. And so, you know, I think like, if you look at Jesus, like what he did, like there were times where he went to go preach to people, right? Mm-hmm. And he preached and he evangelized. But then there was also passages where, you know, Jesus was eating with sinners. Yes. And he was hanging out with them.
Yes.
And so, and did Jesus deliberately, outright, in the moment, was he preaching to them? I mean, maybe. Mm-hmm. But there could have also been instances where he was, you know, hanging out with those people and loving on them and praying over them, maybe in his private time.
Mm-hmm.
And he was abiding, right? And he was able to, like, I think prayer is super powerful, like for those situations, right?
Yeah.
Like even if you, it's interesting in John 4 too, it talks about, you know, verse 37, it says, or actually verse 36. It says, even now the one who reaps draws a wage and harvests a crop for eternal life, so the sower and the reaper may be glad together. But then it says, thus the saying, one sows and another reaps, is true. I sent you to reap that you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work and you have reaped the benefits of their labor.
Mm.
And so sometimes even like prayer, right? Mm. Even if you get somebody's name, you can start praying for that person. You can start doing that. And it's hard, you know, and a lot of people, sometimes they don't want to hear about the word, right? They've been burned by the word, right? Mm-hmm. They've been burned by people in the church. Mm-hmm. They've been burned by, they think God, but it's really, it may be their sin or, you know, different things in their life. But, you know, God loves us, right? He loves us and he cares about us. He's not going to hurt us. You know, he wants the best for us. You know, he has a hope and a future for us.
Yeah.
Right. And so, really just loving people, loving them where they're at. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you're not always gonna, there's been people I've talked to where I haven't been able to talk to them anymore. You know, they just kind of go out of your life. But I mean, that's kind of how it is. Like there's people that, you know, maybe aren't going to be in your life anymore. And that's unfortunate, but that's an opportunity to pray, you know? So,
wow. That's really great. You know, I like how you were talking about prayer, and I feel like prayer is really the background work that we have to do. You know, prayer is something that we have to do before, during, and after talking to strangers.
Yeah.
Because it's really powerful. When I've seen times in my life, I remember there was one time when a particular person wasn't, I think he was diagnosed with a liver disease, and he needed money for surgery, and he was like, just asking people for money. And then I felt in my heart to go pray for this man. And immediately I felt in my heart to go pray for this man, I felt a strong fear. Like my heart was just like beating so fast. I was just fearful. And I remember just taking a moment to start praying. Like I started praying in the spirit. And immediately I started praying in the spirit, that fear just disappeared, just dissipated. And then just right when I stood up from where I was sitting, I saw another of my friend who also stood up, and we made eye contact, and I knew he also was gonna pray for this person. And we got out and just prayed for him, and he was he was very receptive of the prayer. And you know, I think my friend followed up with him, and my friend told me he didn't end up needing the surgery. And we can see like what the Lord can do through us just praying, and how that can like help work patience and faith in our hearts and boldness as well. Because when you look at, of course, the life of Peter as well, Peter was someone who was timid, who denied Jesus 3 times. And when you look at Acts chapter 2, you see him leading thousands of people to Christ. And what changed? He had spent time praying in the Spirit before that point. Like, they had experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but not just that, they experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit, they had spent time praying. You know, and also, you see in Acts chapter 3, when they were intimidated, when James was beheaded, was killed, and the apostles and gathered the church together, and they took time out to pray again. And then they prayed that the Lord would give them boldness. I think that what we need to, like, I really, really like how you hit the nail on the head with bringing up the matter of prayer. Like, I feel like even if we say the best of the best of the best of words without prayer, it's going to just fall on empty ground. Like, it's just going to fall on deaf ears. Like, we're just going to be philosophers. We're just going to be entertainers. We're just going to be yappers, basically.
Yeah.
You know, and I feel like prayer is just something that, like, makes our ministry to people much more effective. Because there's been times when I'm talking to a stranger and I don't know where this conversation is headed, but I just keep praying while we're at it. Like, I just keep praying under my breath. And this person is probably wanting to ask me a question. I'm like, Holy Spirit, give me the right answer. And that's where we're coming to. Like, how do you engage the Holy Spirit when you're talking to people? Because there's been times when people are asking questions and I'm like, I don't just want to answer this question they're asking. I want to answer the question in their heart. Like, there's a reason why they're asking this question. And I know, Holy Spirit, you know that reason and you can speak to it. That you just, like, let my words be full of grace. Help me to say what they need to hear at this time. And I'm just doing that simultaneously while talking to them. So, like, what are practical steps to involve the Holy Spirit in our ministry to people? In our ministry of, like, just sharing Jesus with strangers?
I would say, I think, I mean, like, praying before, obviously, and yes, praying during. And I think, like, there's been times where I've been the same circumstance with you, where it's like, I'm praying and I'm trying to like, see, like, what should I say? You know what I mean? And I think, the most practical thing I have is like always that, like, the little voice that's like saying something that you feel peace about, like, that's usually the thing that the Holy Spirit wants you to say.
Wow.
Like, it's usually something that's like, you just feel like just at peace with it. You just feel like, yeah, I should do that. I should say this or that. And sometimes sometimes, you know, you're going to call the wrong shots maybe, but in the end, you know, like, interacting with the person, you're talking with the person, you're trying.
Yeah.
And God sees that, and he's going to use everything for good, right? So, like, he's going to use that conversation, even if it's like one thing you said. It could be anything you said. Yes. If it's just one thing you said.
Yes.
But if you're not obedient to, like, the Holy Spirit to allow you to talk, and you're just like, oh, well, maybe I'll just talk about something else, you know, or maybe, you know, maybe that's too weird to say right now. Like, that may be the enemy working against you, right?
Yes.
To not say that. Like, because if you say that right thing, if you say that thing, that could really help that person. That could really lead that person to God. So that's kind of some practicals I have. And I'm not perfect at it. You know, I don't know exactly how to do it.
Yeah. But,
you know, it's hard. Like, it's really hard to lean into the Holy Spirit sometimes, especially when you're having a conversation with somebody.
Yeah.
And speaking with somebody. And it's sometimes an unnatural thing to do. I mean, you know, people just don't go randomly talk to strangers. It's hard, but it's something that's really, it's really valuable to do. It's really life-giving. So I would say that is definitely something that has helped me, is I get in those situations and just listening to that little voice and being like I was actually going out with a friend last night, and I really felt like I just asking the question, like, I was talking to this one guy and I was like, do you need to be healed? Like, is there anything in your life that, like, and I don't even know if that even resonated with him. And if it even made any sense to him, what we were even talking about. I mean, I'd like to hope it would, but I mean, like, hey, if he was healed from something, if he was healed in his mind or in his body or in his soul,
yeah,
like that's a win. That is a win, you know?
Yeah.
And so that's something that I really try and do is, and that goes back to like the thing, it's like, you know, what if, like, just do it, you know?
Yeah.
Just like say, what the heck, you know, what's the worst that could happen, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that's definitely something that's helped me a little bit. So
yeah, I really like what you said there about like it not being really about what we say, but more about just letting the Holy Spirit use what we say. Because when we put ourselves under the pressure of let me try and say the right stuff, then we're focusing more on what we're saying
than
the Holy Spirit,
yeah,
and yourself than the Holy Spirit. Then you put yourself under pressure, you know. Because I think I've heard a story. I don't remember who was sharing that story of. I think they probably went on a mission trip. I don't know if you remember of when they met someone. Maybe one of the missionaries they met at the mission trip was sharing of how they met someone and they just asked the person, "Would you go and have a cup of coffee with me?" And that started out the discipleship relationship with that person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's not really about like saying the right words all the time, but really about letting the Holy Spirit use your words. Let the Holy Spirit, and not just necessarily even letting the Holy Spirit use your words, but just letting him use your mouth to like speak into the lives of people. Because words are a seed. There are people, like you mentioned earlier, that you're not going to like spend a lot of time with them. You're not going to be in their life for long. There are people that it might just be that you're meeting them that one time. Maybe you stumbled on them in the bus and you're just meeting them that one time. And the word that you speak into their life is going to be a seed that would like bring fruit in different dimensions in their life, so to speak. And so just going on, you know, in that atmosphere of talking about prayers, you know, I remember we talked about even praying after you've spoken to people, because that's where the work also starts. Like, because there's that continuous contention between the enemy and Jesus. There's that continuous contention between light and darkness. And just talking to them about Jesus, they're going to go out there, they're going to face darkness. And so we also have a responsibility to be praying for them after sharing Jesus with them. And that has a lot to do with the Lord just breaking our hearts for people. Because we're definitely going to have our own needs. Because I think that really sharing Jesus with people would require us to put people before ourselves sometimes, especially in the place of prayer, because we always have something to pray about, like you were saying of earlier on, about just listening to the Lord. And you know, I want us to just kind of focus as we begin to wrap up on what Jesus was saying in John chapter 4. John chapter 4 from verse 31. So, you know, after Jesus had spoken to this woman, his disciples came. Remember, he was tired and hungry, and his disciples had gone to go get him food. And they came back with the food and found him talking to the woman. And, you know, my version says that they told him, "Rabbi, eat." But he said to them, "I have food to eat, of which you do not know." Therefore, the disciples said to one another, "Has anyone brought him anything to eat?" Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." Like that really struck me. Like Jesus was very hungry, and he puts the need of Jesus, of the Father, he puts the will of the Father before his own need. Before, like, it wasn't just a want. Like, wanting to eat at that point wasn't just a want. It was it was a necessity, but he put that aside and he, you know, went ahead to just do the will of the Father.
Mm-hmm.
And I think another thing to be doing is not just to pray for people, but to pray for ourselves. So I'd like to, you know, just hear your input. Like, how have you seen, like, prayer transform your ministry? How have you seen prayer, like, help you become effective in your discipleship and your ministry to other people?
Yeah, I would say this summer especially, this summer has really taught me a lot about myself, and just really prayer, just for healing and stuff in my life, just healing in relationships or like certain sin that have been really hard. And I've really seen God really change my heart with other things, like just really healing with impatience, or healing with worry or whatever it may be. And I think that through like him healing me, through him delivering me from these things and growing me as a person, allow me to walk more with him, I'm able to see other people and their struggles. And I just really, like, I was reading John 4, and the thing I got out of, like, first of all, I think it's really interesting that Jesus, he talks about living water when he talks to the woman, but then when he talks to the disciples, he's talking about food. Which is kind of interesting to me. And I think, I don't really know exactly kind of what that means, but there's some connection there.
Yeah.
But there's another thing that I kind of wanted to bring up too, and it talks, it was talking about Jesus's kind of way that he was able to like speak to the woman. And I have here, let's see. So like, I kind of have it like steps. So Jesus interacts with the woman. And then the Samaritan woman is troubled. Jesus then shares the message. The woman kind of questions Jesus. After the woman questions Jesus, Jesus shows that he is the answer. He shows like truth about who he is. And then the woman's like, well, he says like, oh, I have water that you'll never have to thirst again. So it was kind of like the woman was kind of almost in like this like, oh man, wouldn't that be nice? Like, I wouldn't have to be thirsty anymore. So she's kind of looking at maybe from like a perspective where she was kind of being selfish. She's like, oh man, maybe like, you know, maybe I don't have to thirst anymore. That'd be kind of nice. But then Jesus, he gets personal with her. And he's like, in a good way. And he's like, he gets at her heart. And her heart is that she's been going through a lot because she's been through five marriages. And the person that, you know, she's hanging out with now, who's her boyfriend, you know, she's not married to him either. So she's been talking to six, she's been, you know, in six relationships. And this woman's probably very young, right? So she's been through a lot. And that's something that in her life that really, really is tough, right? And so I think through prayer, through us, like us doing those things, right, we're able to receive healing, and then we're able to see other people through their struggles. Because, you know, the word says that, you know, Jesus has gone through, he's gone through everything. He's gone through all temptations. He's gone through all sin, right? And so he's able to see us in our struggle. And he's able to be there with us. And he's and we can do the same thing for other people, right? We can go into those situations and we can be empathetic towards other people. And I think that that's something that God's really been able to do through me, is just see that empathy. You know what I mean? And see like that, and be able to just be there for other people. And I think like anybody can do that. It's not, you know, it's we are all given that, right? To be the love, like have that love for other people. So that's something that I think prayer has really helped with a lot.
I think somewhere in Romans 5 was talking about how the love of God is, you know, shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. How the Holy Spirit is the one who like gets the love of God to be flowing through our hearts. And spending time in prayers kind of just helps us to not just receive God's love, but be able to share that love to other people.
Yeah.
And so talking to strangers it's not just about having conversation with them, it's about loving people.
Yeah.
And like, that's something that we really need to understand. It's as simple as that. Just love people. How would you talk to someone you love?
Right.
Like, even though you've never met them before, like, how would you treat someone that you love, basically? And, you know, that really resonates with me, you know, what you were saying about, like, empathy. And that's something that sets us apart as children of God. We can be merciful towards people. We can be caring towards people. And we can do that while still being honest with people.
Yeah.
Because we see that Jesus was also very honest with the Pharisees and Sadducees, and he like would occasionally rebuke them when they were doing something wrong. And he would do that in love still.
Yep.
You know, and yeah, I think it all just boils down to leaning on God, leaning on the Holy Spirit to walk through us and just let his love flow through us, and to remind us in the place of prayer to not just pray for our own selves, but to pray for others. But also when we're praying for ourselves, to pray that he like works in our hearts to love people more. And so I think, you know, this is a good place to begin to wrap things up.
Yep.
So what would be your own like take home from this conversation we've had today? Because for me, I think my own take home from today's conversation, we've like shared a lot of stuff, but like one thing I really love from what you said was, you know, what's the worst that can happen? You know, and that really shows that I've come, the proof of me being, you know, confident or being able to shamelessly share the gospel with people shows how much I've experienced the cross.
Mm.
Basically, like how much of the crucifixion have experienced alongside Jesus. So I'll just be, you know, thinking more about that amongst other things that we talked about today. So what's one thing that you would be taking away from our conversation today?
Yeah, as you were just talking, I just really had that verse where, you know, it says, Jesus says, in this world you will have troubles, but take heart because I have overcome the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the biggest thing that I really got out of this today is just to really live fearless and just live for Christ and live in that, kind of like you're saying, just kind of, because I think that's really that's the biggest thing is really just going out there and just being like, God, like, I surrender this to you. I give this to you.
Mm.
Like, have your will be done, you know, and just going out there and just seeing what happens, seeing what God does.
Yeah.
Because God works in crazy ways that we have no idea how it happens.
Yeah.
But he does. And he does those things. So I'd say that is just, you know, being living fearless and just living. And it's easier said than done, right?
Yeah.
But it's easy to start somewhere. You got to start somewhere.
Got to start, yeah.
So, and so that's my encouragement to everybody listening to this, is just like, start somewhere, you know? Mm. Could be with your, talking to your dog or something. I don't know. Just start and practice on somebody, right?
Yeah.
Or go talk to somebody who you really enjoy talking to, to the word about, and just share the word with them, right? Because that's a way of you practicing that muscle. It's kind of like a muscle. It's like working out.
And also, thank you for talking about your friend, Joe. I was going to bring up the place of having like-minded Christians that would encourage you to go out there and talk to people. Because I remember when I first got here, I struggled with that a lot, because I, you know, felt that it's a new environment for me, and I wanted to really understand what the mindset of people that are here would be towards someone, just random guy, just walking up to them and trying to have a conversation with them. And I had a couple of friends, Thomas, to begin with, who like started out the outreach. and he invited me to come. And, you know, we just had a couple of guys and we'll go out there and like just share Jesus with people. And I was able to lean into that relationship, lean into that, you know, companionship that we had and that community that we had with those guys to be able to just go out there and share the gospel with people. So sometimes if you can't start out by yourself, it's okay to look around and see someone who is doing it and go with them and see how they're doing it. And from doing it, like you said, from like just starting out, you get better. Yeah. You won't get better by locking yourself indoors and just praying, or just locking yourselves indoors and just reading your word, and just locking yourselves indoors and, you know, just locking in. No, you get better at it by, and I can say this from experience, you get better at sharing Jesus with strangers by actually going out there to share Jesus with strangers.
Yeah.
Basically. And yeah, and we're just going to wrap up here at this point. Thank you so much, Brett, for the wisdom and your time and just sharing, you know, with me or with us this truth that the Lord has been laying on your heart from God's word. Do you have any final words for people who are listening before we pray?
Oh man, it's kind of like the interview question where it's like, do you have any questions for us? No. But no guys, you know, I Victor's a great man, so keep listening to his podcast because he's really has the word of God in him and he's a great man. So, but I don't know. No, I had to honor you, man. You're just an awesome guy. So, but yeah, no, guys. I just thank you for having me on. Just really appreciate it. So,
all right. Yeah. Thank you, Brett. Yeah. You're a great guy too. I really salute your confidence and your love and intentionality of trying to just connect with people. You know, I like how when you meet people, you're like, what have you been up to? How's your day going? And the way it's not really about asking, but the way you ask, like you ask and you're really waiting to listen, to hear how my day is going or how my day went or how my week went. Like you pause and you want to listen. And you know, when you ask what's been going on in your life or what's been going on with you, man, and, you know, or even offer to pray for me, you know, those things are very cool stuff that I would encourage you to keep doing. Yeah, would you like to just pray and then I'll wrap us up?
Sure. Yeah, let's do it. Yeah, Lord, thank you for this time. Thank you for just your word and John 4, God, and Isaiah 40, yeah, and just Romans 1 and a couple other ones I think you might have mentioned. But Lord, I just pray just for this, just anybody who's listening to this podcast, God, that they just really just apply maybe some tips and tricks, God, to just getting to know you more, getting to just abide with you more, getting to evangelize with you more, God. May you not be a religion to them, God, but may you be a relationship to them, God. May they just seek you and may they find you. May you show your face to them, God. And may you lead them not into temptation, but may you deliver them from the evil one, God. May they live in just love and just peace, God, with you. And may that love and peace outflow and flow to other people, Lord, who need to hear about you. So thank you again, Lord. Thank you for Victor. And yeah, just thank you for this amazing night. In Jesus' name, amen.
Dear Jesus, thank you for such a great time to just hang out and talk about your word. And we know that what we talked about today is very important to you. Like you really care about people and you want to show that through us, your children. And Lord, we ask that you just help us to see people from your perspective. See people with your eyes, God, and be willing and obedient to just lean into you, Holy Spirit, to walk in our lives supernaturally, to just take that bold step of saying hi to someone and watching you continue to do your work through just starting a conversation with people. I ask the Holy Spirit that you would break our hearts for people, break our hearts for the lost around us, break our hearts for those that are, you know, under the bondage of the enemy around us, and just break our hearts in the place of prayer to pray for people, to pray for ourselves, to be much more effective ministers of the gospel of Jesus. I pray for as many that are listening to this, that dear Holy Spirit, you would just inspire their hearts and help them to not just be encouraged, but to be empowered for whatever it is that you're calling them to do. Help them to have a clearer understanding of what you've called them to do, as touching your plan and purpose for their lives, dear Jesus, and to walk in it. Help them to walk in obedience, to choose you above themselves. Help them to really experience the cross. As Paul said, I was crucified with Christ. No longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me, God. I ask that you would just cause more and more and more and more Christians around the world to see the harvest. That when they see different countries of the world, where they see people from different social class in their society, that you help them and break their hearts to see them from your perspective, Lord Jesus, the perspective of the one who loves them and wants to save them and wants to be their friend, Jesus. That you help us to genuinely love people and want to spend time with people, want to do life with people and be their friends, Jesus. We ask all these things in your name, dear Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Brett. That was good. That was good. Thank you.
That's good.
There you go. Yeah, bye, everyone.
Bye. Bye. Bye, bye, bye.
Thank you for listening. We hope that you were blessed. If you would like to share your testimonies with us or request for counseling or prayers, or you have questions about what you just heard or other Christian subjects, or you just want to make more inquiries about Caris Folks, feel free to reach us through our website, carisfolks.org, or send in your email at hello@carisfolks.org. Jesus loves you.